How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
Episodes with quick tips you should know, techniques you can implement into your workflow right here on A Tale of Two Hygienists.
Welcome everyone into this week's tipisode. My name is Andrew Johnston. I am your host. And the topic for today are tips for a successful start, especially and particularly for this episode, it'll be if you're starting at a new office. When I was the director of hygiene, it seemed like the beginning of the year, we always had a ton of applicants. And right before that, in the November, December time, I feel like not very many people were looking to switch jobs, switch things up a little bit. And part of it I understand is, you know, you don't want to change things up during the holiday, or maybe you're, you know, waiting for that holiday bonus or end of year bonus to kind of kick in and you wanted to make sure that, you know, you received it. So January was always a huge uptick though in the applications. So with that, and it's still being kind of towards the close of January, I thought I'd give some tips for those who are starting out in their new jobs, things that might help smooth that transition. So the first thing I thought of was that before you even start your new job, you should really ask a lot of questions, really getting to know your role and responsibility before you even start there. I found that a lot of times the dentist who does the hiring might think that they know what they want, but then the office manager has other things that they might want. And then the other hygienist that's working there or was working there or will be working there also has things, the dental assistants, everyone has their needs and expectations. So if at all possible, before you're hired, ask all of the current employees what their expectations are for you. I've heard dentists promise and swear up and down that they have the most amazing office with the most amazing teamwork. They have dental assistants that will help turn over the rooms for us. The sterilization will happen with the dental assistants as well for all of our instruments. Really speaking to the things that we want. Like they know what we're looking for and they want to speak and guarantee that we're going to have that. So then the hygienist or the person gets all excited because, you know, they're ready to use their full scope and really educate patients and be able to have the bathroom break. And then the first day of the job, they find out, well, actually the assistant refuses to help out. They also never helped the last hygienist. And oh my gosh, how dare you, you little drama diva hygienist, for even thinking that I would even help you and then causing all sorts of problems like day one. And even if the hygienist is just, you know, very innocently confirming, you know, hey, when I was hired, I was told that this is the workflow. And then, you know, that ends up not being the thing. And then it ends up being like we're divas, right? So I can't put any more emphasis on asking a lot of questions before you start. Now, if you cannot ask those questions to like everybody in the, on the team early on, it really does have to be like that first day priority. Don't put people on the spot because no one really likes that. They feel like you're coming at them. Just explain how excited you are to work with the team. You've heard great things that you want to be able to fit in. And so you're asking questions of how you can support them. I think finding out what kinds of tasks they would like you to work on. I think this is, you know, in addition to our normal expectation for hygiene responsibilities for patient care, because that way, when you know these things, you'll know day one, if you don't like what you're hearing, you can be done real quick. You can start looking for another job and just kind of hang on to that one for a few weeks until you have another job, possibly go back to the one you came from, especially if you left on good terms. You know, there's lots of options, but you're not stuck in a situation where you're going to be miserable for so, so long. And now, more than ever, we have lots of options in most areas of the country. So the second thing that I would like to bring to your attention is maybe really getting to know and being very well versed in the handbook. So not just that hygiene section, but all sections. And you should know the policy for calling out sick, what kind of benefits there are, how much vacation you get, also how to request that vacation, how much lead time do you need to do, what are the roles and responsibilities of other members of the office. One of the things I liked at the last place I worked is right there on the intranet, I can see the roles and responsibilities of an office manager, of a dentist, of an assistant, and I can see where there might be gaps or holes and things that, you know, as a hygienist, they could pick up the slack, or as a dental assistant, they need to pick up the slack. I could really just kind of see who could help out and when and where. The more you know about the rules, the better. And I hope that you'll never have to use it, but it's always helpful to have the backing of a handbook, especially when there's some unfavorable situations arising in the office. So the third thing I thought about was snacks. There is nothing better. You think about to Christmas time, right? All the specialty sending in. Nothing better than someone bringing in some schnickety snacks, right? It's a bartering tool. You're going to curry a little bit of favor with the new office. And it could be several things. It doesn't have to be necessarily a snack, but it could maybe be a round of coffee for everyone. Or, you know, if you're skilled at baking and you want to bring a baked good in. I saw this thread earlier this week, how someone posted a picture of a Dr. Pepper. And with the comment of it, they talked about, oh my gosh, that doctor drinks a soda every day. And I'm pretty sure based on the comments that the original poster did not get the response that they were looking for, because they mentioned, you know, is essentially the tone of like, oh my gosh, how dare they drink a soda every day. But I mean, it's not really that big of a deal if we know how to, I mean, we're all hygienists. We know how to take care of our teeth. They're dentists. They know how to take care of their teeth. I think the exception to this rule would be those really, really healthy offices, but those are few and far between in my experience. And so, you know, going into the break rooms, I've been in, I think, over 100 offices break rooms over the last 12 years or so. I know that dental teams eat a ton of junk. So don't feel any sort of way about bringing in something to bribe the team with. I would say, with the exception of Twizzlers, because those are garbage, Red Vines are the way to go. And they rule the licorice universe. So the last thing I thought to share was, when you are brand new in office, you got to make things your own. You have to have some sort of identity and some sort of sense of belonging. And by that, I guess I mean, you know, clean and organized to fit your particular way of practicing. I had an office that they wanted a standardization of all of the drawers and all of the cabinets and everything across all of the rooms, and not necessarily just the hygiene ops, but also the operative ops. And I understand the idea of it, right? The idea is that if you're switching rooms, that it doesn't matter where you're at, it's going to be the same for everybody. Everyone's going to know where everything's at. It's going to be easier to stock and things like that. And that is true also. However, not every hygienist is the same. We don't all have the same, you know, needs and wants and desires. And so, for instance, I am one who likes all of the patient bags and the home care items in that top drawer. And then certain like disposables, so like your air water syringe if it's disposable, your HVE tips, fluorides, prophy paste, you know, cotton gauze, Q-tips, whatever it is that you could think of as like a disposable. I like that in the second drawer. And then things for turning over the room, I usually kept the Cavicide or whatever disinfectant wipe on the top. But if there's additional tools that you might need, that'd be in like the third drawer. And then the things that I almost never, ever, 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 ever need, I put those ones in the bottom drawer because there's no sense of it. And so the things that need to be the most accessible are the ones that I want to be towards the top. And the other thing too is I talk about this a lot, but you know, I was a restorative hygienist. And so they had a little rolling cart also in all of the operatories. And that particular drawer, I know that they wanted to be set up for the dentist to come in and do things, but I particularly liked it to have a very limited amount of supplies based on if I was going to be placing a small filling or if I was going to be doing a simple restorative procedure. I want it the way I want it and not have too many things that I'd have to like search through and lift up and pick. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And so, you know, really trying to capitalize on this opportunity to make it your own. I think a lot of things will happen to benefit you if you do this. You're definitely going to have a lot less stress, but you're going to feel more calm and relaxed, almost like you're in your own home. That's actually a bad analogy. It's not going to be like you're in your own home, but it'll give you a sense of purpose and belonging. And this is your corner of the dental office that you belong in. And I think also it'll save you precious time because you're going to know where everything's at. And there's a potential upside of you looking or appearing to be more organized than some of your new coworkers. And so there's all sorts of good things that could happen with that. So if you're starting in a new office this year, I do wish you all of the luck. If it's a position that's maybe outside of clinical hygiene. I would love to hear about it. You can drop me an email, andrew@atailor2hygienist.com. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you all have a great weekend. A Tale of Two Hygienists.